It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren along with Andy Bailing, and a couple of things before we kick off the show that we'll get into in detail here. Sad to talk about the passing of Kevin Randleman last night. It was confirmed around 10:44 p.m. At 44 years old. Very, very sad news for the MMA community and the owner of probably the greatest slam in MMA history that happened in Pride. And if you have not seen that, you have the weekend that you can go back and check it out on Fight Pass. And some big news for Fight Pass that we'll talk about. And if you had back surgery in the squares of reasons that CM Punk will never fight, you are the big winner this week in the MMA squares. And with that, we'll get into it. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
All right, it is Way of the Warrior. As I said, Eric Hultgren, along with Andy Bailing. Nick is in, I believe, Traverse City, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So it'll be just the two of us, and there's plenty of stuff to talk about. And we will start last weekend with UFC Not 196, which was their Super Bowl card. And you know what? Hindsight is always 20/20, my friend. And I think hindsight, in this case, thank God we didn't have to pay $60 for that, because even with Kane and Verdum, that would have been god-awful.
Yeah, I was really going to hesitate to buy that card when it was what it was going to be on pay-per-view. I would have probably ended up, you know, maybe going somewhere or determining some way to watch it, but
which
usually,
I'm, you know, Super Bowl weekend, I'm sure is the point,
yeah, right?
Right. People gather around and you
yeah.
split it, but even
right.
with that, dude, that was... Let me tell you that if that was not the worst heavyweight fight to be fought in the last decade, I don't... You, please get at me at Twitter and tell me which one is worse.
Yeah, well, I mean, going during that fight, they finally had to switch to the comments of saying, well, you know, big country is... He's just trying not to lose here, and it was... It became so boring.
It became so boring, and you've got a guy in Jared Roschel who, like... Again, it's really easy to sit on the outside and dump on somebody for their skill set because we're not doing it, right? Neither one of us are entering the octagon. And so with that said, that's why you listen to this show, because we're giving you an analyst point of view when we're not fighting. I'm going to tell you, there is that kid does not belong in the UFC. Like, there's nothing he's doing at the heavyweight division, save for he's not 50 years old, which is the only thing that he's got going for him at this point, because your brother and I talk about this all the time. The median age in the heavyweight division is 38. Right. So Jared Roschel, much younger than that. So that's the only thing he has going for him, because nobody's going to pay for that fight, even if he had won.
No. And he's not the most obviously not the most exciting fighter, but he didn't even really go for a takedown. Like, he literally did nothing. And you know, big country, he kind of he stalked him around a little bit and threw some sloppy just overhands. But I they were talking about during the fight, like giving big country a pass because he puts on so many fun performances for people to watch, even if it's him getting ended up getting pounded for three rounds
sure.
for a decision.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, to me, I've always enjoyed watching him, and so I was like, all right, you know, I'll give him a pass on this one. But Roschel, I mean, he is not an exciting guy to watch. And but then he didn't even try to utilize his best
well,
angles.
And you know, a bit of context for those of you who, you know, maybe don't study the game as closely as others, right? One of the reasons that Roy wasn't coming out explosive and was sitting down literally was for that very reason. He was making himself as compact as possible so that he wasn't susceptible to a takedown. Now, it made for a really boring fight, but you know, if you are a fan of Roy Nelson, the thing that aside from the fact that it's a terrible fight, aside from that, the thing I feel that you can take away from this is that Roy is attempting to get smarter with his game plan. He never abandoned that and never gave Roschel a chance to change the dynamic of the fight, even when it was the worst fight we have seen, literally, like I said, in the modern era. He didn't change from that. And I think a lot can be said that he had a game plan. Now, based off that performance, should he fight for a title. No, he should not fight for a title at all. In fact, he should go away for a minute or 12 before we have to see him again, because that was terrible. In fact, the only two pieces, like the only two things that I walked away thinking were interesting is Mickey Gall's destruction of Michael Jackson, which, first of all, I think the story is incredible because if you don't know, Mickey Gall was the guy who was on looking for a fight. And when he won his fight, he came out and told Dana, stood on the cage, told Dana White that he wanted to fight CM Punk. So Dana White liked his moxie, put him in there against Mike Jackson or Michael Jackson. And he beat him in 45 seconds and gets CM Punk. That was the deal. Get in the UFC, win your fight, beat CM Punk. Now, most people are focusing on that part of the story. Here's the thing that I find amazing about this story. So Mike Jackson comes out, gets walloped in 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know him. There's a reason why you don't know him. He's an MMA journalist who took this fight. So this dude gets beat, goes backstage, changes into a better outfit than 90% of the media that's out there at the moment, and then covers the rest of the event. Like, if that is not the dopest thing that happened, that I mean, that night was kind of an abomination, but like, yeah, that is my favorite, save for Wonder Boy, which I'm getting to, because believe me, I'm going to go.
And then I have one other comment on something that was awesome.
I thought that was amazing that he gets walloped and then he's just, let me just cover the rest of the event. I mean, as long as I'm here, let me sit down in media row.
Can I fight early so I can go take a quick shower?
So I can get a shower and get in there so I can cover Wonder Boy. So what was
the other part of that card that was awesome was the flying knee. That was a few seconds. That fight had some excitement in it.
That was very exciting. And what I liked about that fight, which was between Noad Laat and Diego Rivas, and it happened in the prelims on Fox Sports 1, is Laat was annihilating Rivas. His jiu-jitsu was just the most beautiful thing you had seen that night. And I was getting... The Lobov fight I thought was good. The Gall thing was interesting. We get to this fight, and I'm going, man, okay, this is going to be one of those nights where everything just starts ramping up and getting better, and that didn't turn out to be true. Yeah. However, at this point, I'm with you.
Yeah.
At this point, you're seeing this beautiful jiu-jitsu. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then out of nowhere, Rivas lands this flying knee and puts Lahat into a concussion where he's out for a couple scary moments, but he walked away on his own power, and he's absolutely fine. Why I think you like this fight, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I'll speak for myself, is that fight is the sport.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting shellacked and figures out, okay, well, I can't let him touch me. I'm going to fly from the first offset of this round and knee him in the head.
Yeah, so watching that first round, you're like, wow, that was total domination. And then the next round starts, and it's 20 seconds in, and this flying knee lands, and it was like a devastating flying knee.
It was.
The most clean flying knee I think I've ever seen.
Derek Lewis looked great at heavyweight, and he, of course, got on, which I love him for this, gets on Twitter and just puts Rushell and Nelson on blast, which was awesome. The Ovince St. Preux fight was weird. OSP rolled his ankle. I thought it looked like he broke his toe, but he said he rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
And Cavalcanti was having some success with leg kicks and then for some reason gave them up.
That was really weird.
Let Ovince Preux win that fight. Benavidez, great fight against Mikowski. However, when you look at Benavidez, it's a great fight. Do you think he's going to beat Mighty Mouse off that performance? Because I didn't see anything that made him more spectacular than prior. Right. I mean, he's a guy I always want to watch, but you watch him, and he's one of those, he's like Faber, one of those guys who just sits at two, right? Because you don't think he's ever going to beat guy above him.
Yeah, and then Mighty Mouse comes out and says that he's so far ahead of everyone else that he could potentially fight, but he's already beat him a couple times.
Uh-huh.
So it puts that whole weight class always in a weird position.
40-year-old Mike Pyle wins his fight in the beginning of the main event. That was fun, too. But the thing that saved the whole card, because all of those things were interesting, but as you look at this card, there really wasn't... the Krukhnov-Nicholson fight was brutal, but there's no ramifications at that weight class of breaking somebody's jaw again who was just broken.
Right.
The only ramifications is at the very top in welterweight in probably the most beautiful thing you've seen this year. Steven Wonderboy Thompson put on a striking clinic that, I mean, you know what this guy can do, but the fact that he's evolving at the rate that he's evolving and is so hard to figure out that in Hendrick's own words, he's like, I hesitated. And in that, you think, okay, well, you hesitated and then something bad happened. Well, no, not really. It's he hesitated, and then for 3 minutes and 29 seconds, the other 2 seconds of the you know, all the 2 seconds that you hesitated, he just ate him alive, threw him in the wood chipper.
Oh, it was awesome. That fight was exciting to watch. And, you know, going into that, Thompson is, you know, he's in a weird situation somewhat because he doesn't have a ton of fights, 13 fights now, I think, but he's 33 years old. But he came out there and was executed so perfectly. And I expected to see Hendricks, obviously, again, take him down. Maybe that wasn't in the game plan for Oklahoma State wrestlers on that card.
they just got together and said, yeah, we're not doing this time.
Yeah, we're not going to wrestle tonight. But, man, he just picked him apart. And then the spin, like, towards the finish. And, oh, man, that was great. That was really fun to watch. And I think really puts him in position, even though he was a little down further still in the rankings at welterweight. I would be excited to watch him fight Robbie Lawler.
I think there's, you know, there's things out there, which is why they probably aren't elevating him up there yet. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his resume, it's great. He's only lost to Matt Brown, which I think would be an interesting rematch if that's what they decide to do. But what I like about watching him fight is prior to that, when they're running the lead up to, you know, they shot all the traditional shows you would for a pay-per-view and then turned out to not to be a pay-per-view. So you got all this great content. You know, he was talking about how in his prior fight, he and his father had worked and worked and worked. And so when his dad screams spin, he doesn't think, he just does it. And it's like his father is playing a video game and just knowing when to hit that switch.
Yeah.
And it's working so well for him in the last two fights, you know, the Ellenberger fight and, of course, the Hendricks fight. Mm-hmm. And those are huge wins at welterweight for him. And 33 years old, I think normally if this was 5 years ago, even 8 years ago, we'd be like, yeah, this is you're entering Tito Ortiz era, yeah, right? Like, but these guys are fighting for longer and longer and longer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in a weight class that has Robbie Lawler, who isn't that old but has fought 150,000 times, having a guy who doesn't have that many miles on him in 13 fights, I think makes for an interesting matchup. And what I see in that fight, in the Wonderboy Thompson-Hendricks fight, I think is similar to what you saw in the McGregor-Aldo fight and what I think you will see in the McGregor-RDA fight. I think at distance, that's exactly what McGregor can do to opponents.
Yeah. No, he's long. He's really tall for the weight class and really lean. And keeping that distance, I mean, Hendricks is as tall of a guy, not even close to as tall as Wonderboy was, but so keeping that distance and just picked him apart. So that was really fun. That was a good way to end the card. It got a little boring.
But don't you think Hendricks looked off too? Like he just didn't look himself, aside from when it got really bad, like a minute into it, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't look like the guy who's fought for the title twice or three times, right?
Yeah. It was a little weird. I actually, when it ended, I don't know why this came through my mind, but I turned to Nick and said, I think he might retire. I don't know why that came into my mind. Like, just his weight cutting issues, and then it's like he reinvented himself and went to a new team and lifted with strongman guys and flip tires and all this stuff, and then he goes out and loses like that when you haven't seen him lose like that
ever.
And so then I was like, I could see him retiring, and obviously he's like, I'll be back, I'll be better than ever, and you know, he didn't do that, but I don't know why that instantly crossed my mind when that fight ended.
And I don't think he'll retire. I think there's too much left to be done. And I really feel like there's a lot of fun fights at welterweight. And especially off the news this week that McGregor's coach is like, yeah, I mean, if he wins on March 5th, maybe we're not going to 45. Maybe we're going to 70. I could totally see us going to 70. And that's what I mean by stuff in the water. Like, you know that they're going to book McGregor and Lawler before they're doing Wonder Boy and Lawler.
Yeah, I was reading that, and that's Lawler's like a big guy. You know, he's 170. He cuts to 170, but like the size difference in the way those guys look in there, I think would be huge. And I know that people used to fight bigger variations. BJ Penn fought at heavyweight before,
sure.
So like that stuff happens. But I think now with MMA evolving, like I fight when he's fighting RDA, like RDA is going to be bigger, but Lawler's a lot bigger. So I don't know. I think if that would really happen, maybe, or maybe they're like, oh, we haven't been in the news for like 24 hours. Maybe I should say that if we win in a few weeks, we're going to go up and we're going to fight Lawler next. And what we say happens. So,
yeah. And I mean, I don't know what, I don't know what happens with, if that's really what's going to come of it, but it's McGregor, so I don't know how you count him out.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But I think that's an interesting, if that's the way they're going to go, because I really feel if that's the direction you're going, how does he get back down to 45?
Yeah, right. If you're bulking up to get to 170, or you maybe wouldn't get to 170, maybe you'd end up fighting somewhere in the high 60s or something, just not having to cut weight or anything. But I think that would be crazy to see that if he does win again. But if he wins this next fight, I have a lot of friends who are very casual MMA fans who talk to me about McGregor. They know who he is now. He's, you know, in the more mainstream. And if they are saying, if he wins that fight, he's like, I'm going to be a three division champion. The more casual, the next level of casual fans are going to be excited and be like, this guy's crazy. He's going to fight for the third. Yes. Like, I'm watching that for sure.
Yeah. And we'll have to see what happens on March 5th. But I really feel that the Wonderboy Thompson fight is something that you can kind of extract some learnings from when you've got a long guy against a stocky guy, that mm-hmm. if at distance that fight stays, the longer it stays at distance, the worse it is for RDA. Now, as I've said before, if RDA can get past that, go through what they call no man's land and get him to the ground, that's where the game will be interesting, because we haven't really seen that yet.
Right.
You know, and I know lots of people like to refer back to Conor McGregor tapping out early in his career, very similarly to a terribly attached choke that Sage Northcutt tapped to. But, I mean, you can factor that out one of two ways. Look at the evolution that a human being can go through from losing a terrible fight like that to where he is today, or how, excuse me, how many questions do we have about his jiu-jitsu? And we'll get to answer them on March 5th. But if he wins, don't be surprised if he goes straight crazy after Lawler, because...
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't. There hasn't been one thing, and when I say I don't know why he wouldn't, I'm saying I don't know why he wouldn't, because that is just what he's done so far. It's attack the next person that he wants to, so I could see that happening, just going right at him, right in the press conference.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Lawler's garbage. I'll take him down.
Exactly.
Or not take him down, take him out.
So. Maybe he'll say he'll take him down. I don't know. The other thing that happened at the fight night, like I said, is Mickey Gall won, and he got CM Punk in the ring, and they talked about UFC 200 is the date that they want to do. And then CM Punk, he's having back surgery because he's got a herniated disc and then something around the herniated disc, so he has to have surgery. Speaking of Matt Brown, we were talking about him a couple minutes ago. Matt Brown came out and said, look, fighting's not for everybody. I don't think he's got it, and I think that... And lots of people will say this. Even Tito Ortiz, when he had his neck issues, would say this. Like, once you go under the knife, if you've exhausted every other mode of transportation to get your back to where it needs to be, or your neck to where it needs to be, once you go under the knife, you are never, ever the same. Ever.
Right. And so I look at
Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
Ever the same.
I look at that. So he goes into the cage, and they talk. Yeah, and they're talking.
And they do
about
talk. They like don't yeah. really. It's not really exciting.
No,
they do just talk.
They're like, just kind of like talking.
There's more energy like, between you and I. And we're not going to fight each other than yeah. there was that night.
And so that happens. And I think how close was he to knowing, or did he know that he was going to have to get surgery, or like how do you have that happen Saturday and then Tuesday you're getting surgery? Like, did you not know that was maybe a thing in those 3 days? Or
right.
What?
And I was watching it with Julian Garcia. You can follow him on Twitter at Briceps2. And he and I were going back and we're just looking back and forth prior to the fight. Ariel Helwani interviewed CM Punk and he just wasn't very CM Punky. Mm-hmm. Right. He was just like you said, he just was talking and was very stoic and not really getting into it the way you would expect a professional wrestler to kind of cut a promo and do the things. And so one would assume he knew that it was coming and just was going through the pomp and circumstance, or maybe he was waiting for another doctor appointment on Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, very weird to go from Saturday to Wednesday to fighting at UFC 200 to back surgery. I swear I'll be okay. And like Matt Brown said, you're number one, you're never the same. Two, I highly doubt you're doing UFC 200, regardless of how quote unquote minor the back surgery is.
Right.
So like I said in the intro, if you had back surgery in your CM Punk squares reasons for why he's never going to fight, you are the big winner. So please feel free to email us and collect your winnings. Okay, the sad news, like I said, last night, the death of Kevin Randleman, age 44, a pioneer in the sport. If you are unfamiliar with Kevin Randleman, I implore you to go spend some time on Fight Pass and look at some of the amazing fights that he was in. Everybody, and if you go to MMA Fighting, you can see the compilation of all the tweets. Everybody had nothing but nice things to say about him. I met him twice. He's like the sweetest human being on planet. He and Mark Coleman might be the two sweetest human beings I've ever met in my life. So it's a very sad thing for this sport, especially when you think about his age, his family. And for me, as a fan, for as long as I've been a fan, Andy, to understand what those guys were doing to their body so that you could watch Conor McGregor, right? Like, yeah. This guy did some terrible things to his body and on way too frequently in crazy situations and did terrible things to himself that eventually led to, you know, an early death in one way, shape, or form. And it's super, super sad. But I think you owe it to him in the same respect of any of these guys that pioneer a sport. You owe it to understand where you came from. And I'm not kidding you. If you've never seen that slam that he put on in Pride, it is the most beautiful, destructive thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And there's a reason. Mauro Ranallo tweeted last night that was the crystallizing moment in his career that people remember. He's been working in play-by-play for 30 years. That's the thing that everybody ever always wants to ask him about, is that slam. So this weekend, if you've got Fight Pass, make sure you go check it out and watch some Kevin Randleman stuff, which I'm sure they will have a ton of it right up in the front so you can check it out, because I know that Dana was a huge fan, and so I know that Dana will put some stuff out there so you can check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely sad to hear that. And I mean, 44 years old, that's obviously extremely young, and you know, with a family and everything. So but yeah, putting some of the stuff you do to your body, man, I can't imagine what some of those guys, especially in the earlier days, have went through when they were fighting like they were and doing the things they were doing. So very sad.
It was very, very sad. And like I said, if you go to MMAfighting.com, you can see the compilation of all the tweets and all the things that people are saying about him. And to be honest with you, if you're new to the sport or newer to the sport, you're probably going to be surprised at the reach, the amount of people, you know, from 22 to 52 that he had touch points with, mm-hmm. which was just more a testament to what an amazing human being he was. And so please go check that out. And speaking of Fight Pass, if you're going to check that out this weekend and watch some giant slams in Pride, they are doing their due diligence, which I think we've talked about this. The start next week, I call this version 3.0 of Fight Pass, when Anderson Silva and Michael Bisping take to Fight Pass to drive a whole bunch of people to it, because they added Glory Kickboxing last night.
Yep.
They added Eddie Bravo's Jiu-Jitsu International invitations and the entire K1 library. So if you're somebody who likes kickboxing, you just hit, it's Christmas for you. And if you're somebody who doesn't understand kickboxing, it's Christmas for you too, because you get this entire library of things to check out. And the Eddie Bravo Invitational, if you like jiu-jitsu or trying to learn jiu-jitsu, that's the thing you want to watch. I actually think that's better than some of the world championships.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm getting close to considering signing up for Fight Pass.
And I really do think after the 27th, if this is what they're going to do, if they're going to do what Ken Evans calls the feature fights, if the feature fights are going to end up on Fight Pass, I think you're going to see a lot of people tune in there. And if they can figure out, and this is where I think this thing needs to go. If they can figure out how to renegotiate the contract for FS1 so that when it's on FS1, it can also be on Fight Pass, I think that's the game changer. I understand you don't want to put the big Fox card on Fight Pass at the same time. Totally fine with that. But the exposure of FS1 is not even the same as like most tiny cable channels. So I think there, if you could renegotiate that so that you could just watch it anywhere you wanted to model it more like the Super Bowl. If you watched the Super Bowl this past weekend, I'm a cord cutter.
Right.
Proud of it. But I don't get CBS because you just, you know, wherever you are, you get two real channels and then everything else is not a thing. CBS, they streamed the whole thing. I watched it on Xbox One, right? Yeah. And I think that's where, as I've said this, in the next 24 months, all of this stuff should be available like this. So this is the thing that I think they need to do. Put the feature fight so that I'm watching Anderson and Bisping.
Yeah.
Because I bet your ass you're going to watch. Oh, you're going to figure out a way to watch it.
I will, yeah.
When you text me for my username and password, because I know you're going to. You know, and then you put the FS1 stuff on there. So if you're not a cable subscriber, you can still enjoy the fights as they happen without having to steal them from wherever you're going to steal them from.
Right.
That's where I think this thing should go in version 3.0, 3.50 or whatever. And then, like I said, we've got Anderson and Bisping this coming up weekend, which will be really, really, really interesting, a super interesting fight to watch. I don't know what you're, and we don't need to do picks today because we'll do that later, but I just think it's a really interesting fight to see which Anderson's going to show up. Bisping is doing what we love Bisping to do. I mean, he's interrupting Anderson interviews to start fights with him, said he cheated his entire career. Like, he's doing everything you want him to do, which is, again, one of the reasons I love having him on this show, because he's been a friend to this show for the last 6 years, and he's just a guy who, I don't care who he's fighting, he makes it seem like he's fighting Mike Tyson every time.
Yeah. That's not this weekend, though, right? That's the
not
following.
This weekend, next weekend, the 27th.
This weekend is nothing.
Correct. And then, we get a rare nothing
then
weekend.
Then there's Cowboy versus Cowboy in Pittsburgh. And then there's I don't remember exactly, but I think that's
no, you're 100% right, because I'm a week off. Next week is Cowboy versus Cowboy. The 27th is Anderson and Bisping.
Cool. So yeah, I was watching some of those videos, and you know, when Anderson speaks on camera, he's so soft spoken, and he switches between Portuguese and English different interviews. So I'm watching this interview with him, and he is, you know, saying, I never cheated, but he's doing part of it, and some of the things he's answering in English, some in Portuguese, and then the other part of it is just, the other part of the interview is Bisping just tearing him apart. He cheated his whole career. He's not a true mixed martial artist if he's cheated his whole career, just destroying him, which, you know, makes it even more intriguing to watch. And that's why someone like Bisping is on TV and doing commentary and stuff, because he makes it interesting.
And it's one of those things that, if you know, unlike Anderson, who's not doing TV all the time, if you're a guy who's doing those repetitions every week, I mean, he's on UFC Tonight. He's on it all the time. So his improv is going to be a million times better, because that's what he does all of the time. And the thing that makes this fight interesting, I don't need to tell anybody this, but I will. The thing that makes it interesting is there's a lot of questions. He, you know, got knocked out by Weidman, broke his leg by Weidman, tested positive against Nick Diaz. So he's not coming back the same indestructible Neo from the Matrix sort of fighter that we wanted him to be even, what, three, four years ago, right? And Bisping somehow just is a guy who's always in those fights. For as much as he runs his mouth, he can back it up with the skill set, so he's always in them.
Yeah, I'm really interested to watch this, because I'm looking at Silva going from someone that you watched just to see how he was going to finish a fight, to the three fights that you just mentioned, to now fighting Bisping, who has had a great career and is in a lot of awesome fights. So I'm looking at this fight coming up, and again, that video that I was watching, they commented on his gray beard. I feel like he's growing his gray beard out a little bit right now, because then if he loses, he can feel that he's getting too old.
He's getting too old for the sport, and it's beginning to pass him by. So yeah, he's going to take a break.
And his family, he brought that up too, that his family's asking him why he's still doing it.
Right.
So I think he's positioning himself to make a decision on depending on the outcome, because he went in one part of the interview talking about how he is potentially going to fight 5 years more. Then it was 3 years more, like 15 seconds later. Then is he might fight for another title. So I think he's just kind of setting himself up for whatever happens.
And I think if Ken were here, he and I would totally agree that what he's actually doing is waiting to see if George is coming back. Because that's the fight.
Right.
Regardless of what happens to Bisping, and you can tell me whatever you're about to tell me when I ask you this question, regardless of what happens, people will pay $90 to see that fight.
Yeah, or maybe they'd put it on Fight Pass.
Oh my god, I don't even know what they would do. Like, because they do have, to be fair, they've had some over the course of December where they've had a lot of Fight Pass content. They've had some server issues, so that's going to cause you some server issues if you put GSP and Anderson on a Fight Pass card, especially because I think you would get a lot of money out of that.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably what he's waiting for. He's not an idiot.
Right.
He's not an idiot, right? He doesn't want to fight Luke Rockhold.
No.
I don't even think that Weidman wants to fight Luke Rockhold, right?
No.
Like, nobody wants to fight Luke Rockhold right now.
I don't think anybody wants to.
You know, he doesn't want to fight John Jones. They're buddies, but even if they weren't buddies, he doesn't want to fight John Jones. He doesn't want to fight Cain Velasquez or Verdum.
Yeah.
Those guys will eat him alive.
Well, I mean, talking about fighting Rockhold, I guess McGregor will probably want to fight him soon, right? Like, after he beats Lawler?
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, okay. Yeah. Like,
one person wants to fight him.
Yeah,
eventually.
One person, yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure
that would be,
on the same
which would
page.
Be awesome if on March 5th/6th when the press post fight thing happens, if he just skips a weight class and goes straight after Rockhold. I'm going up to 85.
Yeah,
this is stupid. I'm hungry. I want to gain 30 pounds. All right. We will catch you next week when we talk Cowboy versus Cowboy. You get a rare weekend off to enjoy some Kevin Randleman on Fight Pass, and you probably should do something for Valentine's Day. I'm just saying, you probably should. And if I can offer you a pro tip, unless your wife really likes comic book movies, Deadpool is not an appropriate date movie. Just saying. I mean, if she loves comic books, she will love the hell out of that movie. If she does not, you are in for a long night.
We have a date night set up, Zoolander 2.
Better choice. All right, have a good weekend. We'll talk next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.